Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome you to our Sunday School Hour at Calvary Baptist Church of Treherne. Take your hymn books and turn to number 438, Footsteps of Jesus, 438. Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling, come, follow me. And we, where the footsteps falling, lead us to thee. Footsteps of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Though they lead o'er the gold dark mountains seeking his sheep, or along by Siloam's fountains helping the weak. Footprints of Jesus the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. If they lead through the temple holy, preaching the word, or in homes of the poor and lowly, serving the Lord. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Then at last, when on high he sees us, our journey done, we will rest where the steps of Jesus end at his throne. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again that we have the opportunity to come together here today. We're thankful for thy love and mercy for us, and that following thee is not a complicated thing once we're saved. Thankful that we can know thy peace and blessing in our hearts. We do pray as we seek to be a help to others that we can keep up with the technological changes that take place in our world, and that we can be a help to others, and pray for patience and wisdom and looking after these things, that thy will be accomplished. We ask that thy will be done in regard to our country of Canada, the great need in our country for souls to be saved, that we might see individuals repenting and turning to thee in these last days, many that are taken up with distractions and entertainment. As thy word warns, that the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine, and we are certainly in that time today. We do pray that we could be a help to people, that they would see the value of sound doctrine. We ask that thy will be done with our Zoom meetings in the Philippines, that we can be a help to people there. Pray for Joy, that she would see the importance of truth and of learning the truth instead of ignoring it, that she would want thy blessing. And thy will be done in Jessel's life and his family, as well as for Jennifer and her family. We can help them to know thy peace and blessing. We ask thy will be accomplished with Mama Lo and Auntie, that as Auntie's mind is going, that she might know thy peace and blessing in her heart. Thy will be done in the war in Ukraine, as it seems to be heating up a little more now again. We ask that the Christians there would be faithful and be able to help others to know thy peace and blessing. Pray for the situation in Israel, for Mr. Netanyahu, that he would be saved while he still has opportunity. We do pray for him as well, as no doubt the Iranians would like to kill him. And so we pray that thy will be done there. Pray also for the U.S. election process that's taking place right now, and how that the Democrats are trying to kill Mr. Trump. And we do pray for the Christians in that country, that they'd be faithful. We realize that modern day Christianity has become very timid, not willing to speak the truth, not willing to help people to know the way of forgiveness and blessing. And we pray that we'd be bold, true to thee, that others might know the way of salvation and turn to thee and be forgiven and saved. So guide us here in our Sunday school hour, that thy will be accomplished, and that others would see the importance of coming. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John 3:19 for today.
John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil.
John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming into the world.
It's come
into the world. And man love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. John 3:19.
Verse 20 for next week. Okay. Look this way. Where's your verse found? Exodus. 20. Verse. 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Exodus 3 verse 20 or 20 sorry 20 verse 3 sorry I'm getting you mixed up. Oh, I know he is. But you know what, Jeremy? If you come here and take stuff from here, you know what that is? That's stealing. And that's sin. So Jeremy doesn't come here to take things, right? 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 No, you don't take things from here. Hey, Abigail. Okay, so we looked at the fact that the Bible is inspired of God, it's God-breathed. Every word of God is true. If you have the Bible, if you have a perversion, then you don't have the truth. And a lot of people waver on that. They don't seem to understand that you cannot have two opposing statements, both being the truth. And the perversions, they have opposing statements in many cases. And yet people still want to believe that the perversions are the word of God. And that creates confusion in the minds of people who are being drawn by the Holy Spirit to the truth. Because the devil is always there trying to keep people from believing the truth. So because the word of God is inspired, it's also trustworthy. So we go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it says there, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." So the scriptures are trustworthy. Verse 15 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So Timothy's mother, we're not told whether his father had any part in his salvation, but we know that his mother and his grandmother both did, and that from a child they were teaching him the scriptures, because little children don't read, so they need to be read to, they need to be taught. And that's very important. That's why a mother's role is very important. Home where there is no mother, the children are lacking a great deal. Same thing if there's no father. But the mother figure is very important. The better, we have a daycare right close to our place, and there's a number of vehicles that drive by every morning and take their children to daycare. That's a very foolish thing to do. Children need to be at home with their mother. They're not learning anything of value at that daycare. They're learning how to be pagans, but they're not learning the truth. And so God's word is trustworthy, and it's important for us to use it and to glorify God in our use of it. So the scriptures are given to us, as it says in verse 14, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And for Timothy, we know that it was his mother and grandmother that were the ones that helped him to learn the scriptures. And then in verse 15, as we noted, that the scriptures are called holy scriptures. We don't worship the Bible, but we understand that the Bible is holy, it is without error. And again, that limits us to the truth. The Masoretic Hebrew, Textus Receptus Greek, and in English, it limits us to the King James, not to the NIV, the New King James, the NLV, or any of the other perversions out there, but the King James Bible is the Holy Scriptures. So when you have these perversions and on their cover it says Holy Bible, they're lying right in the very cover of their book, because it's not holy. It's corrupt. And then we learn also that the scriptures are for children. I remember working amongst some Mennonites, and they were of the opinion that their children didn't need to go to church until they were 12. And the argument they used was that Jesus was taken to the temple when he was 12. And those Mennonite families, they didn't bother to read their Bibles at home, so those children were growing up in the dark. But as we read already in verse 15, it says that from a child. So again, that young child, Jethro's age, or Jeremy's age, and even younger than that, need to be told the scriptures, so that their minds can be thinking on those things that are true, and that the Spirit of God has those scriptures to work in the child's heart to help them to see the need to be saved. So the word, the Greek word translated as child there in verse 15, is speaking of an infant. So it's a young child. It's even younger than Jeremy. So little children, even though they can't speak to you, they can hear. And so the little children need to be told the truth so that they have that to work in their hearts and help them to see the need to repent and be saved. Sunday school is also important, and Sunday school, even for children, is not supposed to be entertainment. It should be teaching the Word of God. Sometimes you can use pictures to help them to see things, but we need to be very careful with pictures because we don't know what Jesus looked like. We don't even know what the disciples looked like. And so a lot of times we put a thought into children's minds with a picture that isn't necessarily accurate. So salvation, the Bible is very clear, tells us in verse 15 of 2 Timothy 3. It says, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So it's faith that is required. Again, we don't need to have a picture of Jesus to show the child. The child needs to listen to what you're telling him and needs to trust in the truth. That's why we need to use the Word of God, not stories, but the Word of God, because that's what is truth. And then we've already looked at verse 16, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we've also looked at the fact that the scriptures are profitable. So for a lot of young people, they don't understand money very well, but they understand that you need money to buy things. And they look at daddy and mommy and they want something and say, well, you have money, you buy it for us. They don't understand the value of money, and they just think that somewhere or somehow the parents get money. So as we talked already in verse 16, the scriptures, there's four things that God says the scriptures are profitable for. And the first one is doctrine. And doctrine is right teaching. There's a lot of people that have doctrine, but it's not right teaching. It's false doctrine. The Olympics, which are supposed to be over today, apparently, they are promoting false doctrine. They are promoting the false god of Zeus. The Olympics were first started in Greece, and they were built upon paganism. It's interesting, I saw a little clip the other day where they were again promoting that Christians can have a good testimony at the Olympics. Maybe you could if you were giving out tracts, but not if you were participating in the Olympics, because the Olympics have no regard for the Lord's Day. They have no regard for Bible study. And so if you're going to go to the Olympics and participate there, you're going to be involved in the paganism. And especially this year, the Olympics made it very obvious it's no place for a Christian, because the opening ceremonies were put on by sodomites and they mocked the Lord's Supper. And so that should have been a very clear eye-opener to born-again Christians. And yet, as I mentioned before, most of Christianity today is so weak that they just tolerate all kinds of wickedness, and then they want people to get saved. The scriptures are also profitable for reproof. And so the reproof, the scriptures, they bring conviction. They give proof. The scriptures prove that there is a God. So when you read the Bible and you read the book of Genesis chapter 1, God proves that he is the creator of all things. And in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, it's evidence. So the scriptures give evidence of the fact that there is a God. And then the scriptures are also for correction, which means to straighten up again. So if you have a yard and there's a big rain and the water makes a trench in your yard, you need to take a rake or a shovel and straighten things out again. So that's what the scriptures will do. They will straighten things out that a person does not have correct in their mind. I've mentioned before that I was raised as a Mennonite, and there were things that I was taught that were not scriptural, not biblical. And so when I got saved, I had to throw those things out and replace them with that which is right. So when your driveway has ruts, you don't stop driving on it. You fix the ruts so that you can drive on it. So the scriptures are also profitable for instruction in righteousness. So that's the teaching. And as I've said before, with homeschooling, that's one of the benefits of homeschooling, is that you can, in every subject, you can bring the Bible to bear upon everything the child is learning. The public school system teaches children mathematics in a vacuum. No God, no truth, no absolutes. And so the children coming out of the public school system, they are very flexible to all kinds of things, and that's why we have the corruption in our world today. That's why we have the current liberal government, because people are flexible and they say, well, you know, we have to put up with this and we have to accept this and so on. There's no right and wrong, and so most people just put up with it and say, well, it's the way it is. And yes, we're not to protest, but we need to understand that it is not the way it needs to be. And so as Christians, we need to speak out against sin, and we need to pray for people and seek to help people to know the truth. So the scriptures are sufficient. In verse 17, it says that the man of God may be perfect. So if we have the scriptures, we have everything that a person needs for life. So as I mentioned before, in our world today, a lot of people think that, well, we have to take and send our children to school for 12 years in the public school system, they talk about, and then we have to send them to university or college to get more training before they can go and find a job. And in all of that, most people don't learn anything about the truth. No God, and nothing in there about truth. And so the people are not perfect. They aren't given the truth. They have no way of thinking clearly, no way of making wise choices. But the scriptures, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. So the person who is saved and is building his life on the word of God, he can make wise choices. He can get up in the morning and have a profitable day, not because he's making a bunch of money, but because he's serving God faithfully. The word perfect there talks about being fitted, complete. It's being fitted. So the Christian is the one who is fitted by God to serve in this wicked world. So you look at, if you go to a clothing store, and today we don't often go to a specialty store. You go to Walmart now to buy your clothes or somewhere like that. But used to be, I remember as a young boy, my grandpa worked at a clothing store, and I think it was once a year or so, he would take his grandchildren there, the boys, because it was a men's clothing store, and he would fit us with a new suit. And so we would try it on, and then they would see if the sleeves were the right length and if the pant legs were the right length. And then if it needed some altering, it would be taken to the tailor and it would be changed. And then we would come back and try it on again and it would be fitting. And that's what the scriptures, they are fitting. They are right for us so that they meet every need that we have as people. And that's important. Our world doesn't understand that, but Christians should understand that. And Christians should be building on the truth. That's why it's a sad thing that in our time that there are people who think that the local church is not important, that they can stay at home, and they're not getting everything that they need because they are not ordained by God to be pastors. There may be fathers there, but they're not ordained to be pastors, and so they don't have that capacity to be able to guide and direct their family in all the things that they need. They may be able to look after some things, but there's going to be gaps because the pastor is supposed to be the one, according to Ephesians chapter 4, who is guiding the people in the things of God that they can grow and be strong in the midst of an ungodly world. So the scriptures also are understandable. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 15 to 17 that we read already, even a child can understand the word of God. And so they're not complicated. The problem with us as people is that the lost person cannot accept the word of God. It's not that they can't understand it, but they don't accept it, because it's against what they believe, it's against what they want to believe, and so they reject it. And that's the problem that many people face today. And that's why we have people outside, they walk past our building, they can see our sign, they can see the Bible verses, and so on, but they just keep on walking, not because they can't understand, but because they do understand, and they don't like what they're being told. And so they stay away from the Word of God. But the reality is that even though people stay away from the Word of God, they will still be held accountable by the Word of God. So let's look at a couple of verses, Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 and verse 36. And it says, therefore, David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. So what is needed is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, as it says there, to give us the understanding. The lost person, as we've said before, is able to understand his need of salvation, but he's not able to understand many other things in the scriptures because he's lost. And so as 1 Corinthians 2 tells us, the word of God is foolishness to him. Again, it's not that he doesn't know what it says, but he doesn't believe it. In Luke chapter 1, verse 70, it says there, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which had have been since the world began. So the holy prophets were there from the time of the scriptures and from the time when the world began. Adam was a prophet, Old Testament prophet. He failed in his duties, but he was, it says, since the world began. Enoch was a prophet, and God took him. Noah was a prophet, a faithful man of God, who served God and was a blessing to the people of his time. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 16, Acts chapter 1 verse 16 says, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. So again, the Holy Ghost is the one who gave these words, fulfilled which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David. So David was filled with the Holy Spirit. He wrote under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And he wrote these things down about Judas, that Judas would be the one who would be, not the name, but one of Jesus' friends, would betray him and bring about his crucifixion, although the timing of that was in God's hands and according to God's will. Chapter 3 and verse 18, Acts 3 verse 18, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. So again, the scriptures are very accurate that everything that was said says there has showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer hath been fulfilled. So everything that God said about Jesus' first coming has been fulfilled. There was nothing lacking, nothing left out. Verse 21 of the same chapter, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. So again, the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. So there were men that God chose to be prophets, not because they were without sin, but they were men who walked in the fear of God. So that would suggest that Adam, even after he sinned, he realized he had done wrong, and he walked in the fear of God. And so Jesus Christ, as that verse says, is in heaven today, waiting until the times of the restitution of all things. So when he comes back to take us out of this world and then sets up the tribulation, then after that, when he comes back to this earth and sets up the millennium, that's all part of God's plan, and it's prophesied in the Bible and will be fulfilled according to God's plan. Chapter 4 and verse 25, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? So again, David was a servant of God. He was not without his sin. He was a servant of God. And if you and I, those that are saved, if we look in the mirror, we know that we do. We sin sometimes. So we cannot sit in judgment of David and say, I'm not going to believe what David said because he sinned. Well, then you can't believe yourself either. We don't excuse sin. We need to deal with it just as God dealt with the sin in David's life. David paid dearly for his sin. It cost him his family, and he also was a very bad testimony to his son Solomon, and the nation of Israel was divided at the death of Solomon, and David had a part in that. So we can see that, but God still used him, and God wants to use us as well if we're willing to be humble and be teachable and confess our sin when we sin. Chapter 28, verse 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So the problem wasn't in the word, the problem was in the hearts of the people. So the Apostle Paul, teaching the people, and there was no agreement, and that didn't mean that Paul was wrong. It was the people that were wrong. And so Paul was directed by God to refer back to the Old Testament and to quote these verses talking about the problem, verse 27, for the heart of this people is waxed gross. That's the problem today as well. That's why there's lack of agreement in churches. That was the problem in the last church that I pastored. The women in particular, some of the women in that church, they did not agree with biblical doctrine. and their husbands were weak, and the husbands allowed their wives to stir them up, and eventually they used a deceptive petition to get rid of me. And that hasn't helped them, because as we noted the other day, and just in reflecting on things there, how that many people have left that church that used to be there, because God can't bless that kind of rebellion. It's against His will. And sad reality, they're being stubborn and they're not willing to learn. So teaching of the Bible regarding its own nature is described in several verses in the Bible. If you go to John chapter 17, John chapter 17 and verse 8, it says, "Therefore I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." So in John chapter 17, Jesus is praying to his Father. He's not praying in regard to all the people in Israel. He's praying for the disciples. And the disciples, Judas not being a part here now, but the other 11 disciples, Jesus gave them his words, and they received them. And so while they had things to learn yet, they received them, and they were able to build on that with further teaching. In John chapter 14, verses 25 and 26, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So the Holy Spirit would guide the apostles, the disciples, and bring to remembrance the things that they would need. That's why when we have the epistles, and even the book of Acts, and even the book of John, and God brought to the remembrance of the disciples the things that they needed to write for their generation and for us today as well. And that's through the Holy Spirit. He's the one that guided them. John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13, it says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." You notice the word Spirit there is capital S. That's the Holy Spirit. And when he would come, which he did in Acts chapter 2, he would guide the disciples and he would show them things to come. So we have the book of Revelation, for instance, which is a book of prophecy. And God directed John to write those words, even though they were not happening in his day, from chapter 4 and on, were things for the future, things that are beyond our time. But John could write them with accuracy because they were given to him by the Holy Spirit. And so God's word is trustworthy. We can believe it because the Holy Spirit was there to guide the disciples and the Old Testament prophets as well in their writing of God's word. So it's very important for us to understand that we have the Word of God. If you go in your Bible to Psalm 119, again, a refutation of the perversions. Psalm 119, verse 89, and it says there, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." So the perversions are telling us we don't know for sure what God said. We're trying our best to give you the most accurate rendering of what God said, but they're lying. We know what God said because he preserved his word. And so, again, if you don't want to believe that, then yes, then you're left groping in the dark. If you go to Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40, and in verse 8, says there, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So Isaiah was given that assurance through the Holy Spirit. He wrote it down. You and I can also know that God's word is sure. Again, that's why people don't want to read it, because it convinces them of their sin. That's why people chose to believe in evolution, because evolution is a broad way, and there are no absolutes in evolution. It's all a guessing game. Numbers change all the time because of the fact that they don't believe the truth. So God's word is sure, and we can have full confidence in it. We don't have to be wondering what God wants of us and what is truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse 6 says there, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. So the scriptures are not the wisdom of this world. They're contrary. And you find that if you're going to live for God, you're going to find that you're going to be at odds with the philosophy of this world. A Christian, that's why I've said before, if a Christian truly believes that God has called him into politics, and it should be a man, not a woman, if a man truly believes that God has called him into politics, he cannot run under the banner of any political party. If you take the Liberal Party in Canada, you cannot be a member of that party unless you agree to the murder of unborn children. So that means no Christian can be a liberal. The Conservatives are no different. The Conservatives will not speak out against the murder of unborn children. They will not protect the sanctity of life in the sense of male and female, and many other things. So you can't be a Conservative, you can't be an NDP, you can't be Green Party. If you're going to be a politician in Canada, you would need to run as an independent. And you would need to trust God to put you into that office. And I don't know of anybody in politics in Canada in my lifetime that has taken that attitude. And that's why our government is in the mess that it is, because there are no Christians there. So we're out of time. We'll carry on there next time from 1 Corinthians 2 and look at a few other things there in regard to God's word and the importance of it and the blessing of it. We'll close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful again that we have thy word, thankful that we can study thy word and be blessed as we study thy word. We can have confidence in thee because thy word is truth. So I pray that thy will would be accomplished in our lives, and that we would allow thee to direct us, that we would honor thee in our lives and be able to help others to see the importance of truth. We realize that as we live for thee, it's going to offend many people, as it has in other generations. But we also know that we are able to help individuals to come to know the truth. So we thank thee for those that tune in from other countries, even from other parts of Canada, United States, and how that we're able to proclaim the truth, and we trust and be a blessing to those that are listening, that they would know thy peace and blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.